If you decide to produce your audiobook using intelligence, do not expect it to ever be found on Amazon.
Why is that?
Amazon is shying away from AI with audio because of the copyright issues that go with it. Who actually owns the copyright?
So who is it that's doing the AI
Different.
audio right now? Google. So Google's happy to do it, but Amazon's not.
Amazon's not.
Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Michael. Michael, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always fun hanging out with you.
Awesome. I'm totally looking forward to it. So give everybody a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Well, more or less, I'm a filmmaker. We've had our last documentary, Hate Can Kill. It won over 50 awards at different film festivals around the world. So it's not like, hey, we paid a bunch of Canadians to go watch your film, so we went away. It didn't work
what?
That way.
At work, would they even do that? I don't know if they'd even do that.
But
especially if it's a long weekend, they're like, no, that's not gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen, right? So 50 awards globally, a bunch in Asia, Europe. The only thing we didn't get any awards out of Africa or South America.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, right? So that's who we, mostly who we are as a business. We're a production company, filmmaking production company. Along with that, we do a lot of sound productions, and we devised a new service because of a new niche developing for authors in audiobooks. So we together, so picture this, that award-winning filmmakers and sound editors for the film industry are now going to put together your audiobook. So
very fun. I like that. So was it a natural, like, how did that idea spawn?
Well, the idea actually, I got a stack of signed books of different authors sending me books, and I'm dyslexic, so I had trouble reading a whole entire book in one sitting. And I started thinking about it because whenever I dive into a novel with my wife, we always do it via audiobook. It's like, so why not do that for nonfiction? So all these coaches out there, coaches, consultants that have a process, that have this book out there to help people live better lives, why not put it on audio and reach to a new audience? That wants their information and is desperate to find that better life themselves.
Very fun. So when it comes to kind of doing the audiobooks, where is the industry at in that regards? Like, give me some background.
Well, if you go to depictions.media and there's an audiobooks division page on our website, you'll see some marketing information on there. And so that marketing information is saying in the next 5 years, the audiobook downloads and customers are going to grow by more than 200%.
So right. And where's the
industry
now?
Why not jump in there early, right, with your book?
Nice. I love it. So when it comes to audiobooks, are there kind of, what is that industry doing right now? Because I have a whole lot of assumptions, but I'm going to let you fill me in first before I iterate those assumptions.
Okay. One, I am going to point out something because of there's a lot of copyrights and intellectual property regulations to the industry, that if you decide to produce your audiobook using intelligence, do not expect it to ever be found on Amazon.
Why is that?
Amazon is shying away from AI with audio because of the copyright issues that go with it. Who actually owns the copyright?
So who is it that's doing the AI audio right now? Google. So Google's happy to do it, but Amazon's not.
Amazon's not. And to be totally honest with you, Amazon owns Audible, which is the biggest download for audiobooks. Right. We do not, in our process, how our process works is we sit down, we talk to you about what the purpose of the book is, where you want to take your business, in what direction with that book, how is it going to assist. And then we decide from there, we start laying out scripts and plans so that we can find either the right voice coach for you to read your own book or the right actor to read your book.
Very
so that it's always going to be a live voice.
Right. So when they read the book, are they actually reading the book like word for word so that if you had the book in front of you, you could follow through with the audio and it's the same?
Yes.
No, cool.
Manuscript to script is going to, we the reason why we do the scripting process is because, hey, you're a professional speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your voice would last more than an hour and a half?
Well, I think you definitely need voice coaching on that one. And the fact that it would sound different from paragraph to paragraph, let alone chapter to chapter. Yeah.
Even professional speakers can't last more than an hour and a half. So we have to have it scripted out so that it can be timed so that your voice sounds at its strongest.
Right.
We got to present the best work, right?
Well, absolutely. Well, and a lot of people don't write the way they speak. When I write, you can hear my voice in your head. You almost don't need an audio book because you know it's me that's reading it. But a lot of people don't. So it, and the wording, how I would say something is going to be slightly different in how I would write it than how I would say it. Like there's a lot of grammar that has to happen when you're writing a book that doesn't have to happen when you're just having a conversation and talking to somebody in a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the authors go to read that, I'm assuming that if they want to read their own, they're going to have an issue for the first little while. What would take a professional speaker, 40 hours, 70 hours to read, could take the author themselves, twice that?
Right. And you'd be surprised a lot of times that authors come into the process thinking, oh, I can just do this myself. And then they hear the actor do it. They get a sampling of a couple of actors and they're like, oh.
Oh, slightly different.
And it's not like we have an excellent voice coach that works with authors to decide to do it themselves. And then they realize that it takes hours of coaching for them to get that perfect reading voice.
Well, and it's kind of like the difference between reading to yourself and reading to your kids at night. Right. To read for myself, I'm just monotone and do, 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 but I can't listen to that in the car. I'm going to crash my car. When you read to a little kid, it's got to be a little exciting or entertaining and they're going to get up and leave and or fall asleep. So depending on your motive for reading to your kids.
Yeah. Well, that leads to a good point about our scripting process, because we want to discuss with you during that process, where should be the inflection points? Because you have me earlier do this Mary Little Had a Little Lamb thing, so it's stuck in my head. we can have Mary Had a Little Lamb, or Mary Had a Little Lamb. You know,
Mary.
So, yes. I mean, where do you want the
Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Yeah,
I could do this all day.
I heard that. That Mary enjoyed the little lamb. She thought it was really tasty.
I don't know if you're allowed to use that in kids' stories.
Well, Mary was a husky. in that case.
There you go. And all of a sudden we take a dark swing. So when it comes to their books, when the average book, I'm assuming, is what, about 300 pages now?
About 200.
200 something? Yeah. And about how long is that as an audiobook?
It works out to be, actually, it still works out to be a couple hours of listening. Now, with that being said, some coaches have decided, rather than doing a straight out audiobook, and in this case, it does work out really well for them to use their own voice because they turned it into a workbook. They took the regular book and we broke it up and re-scripted it so that it became a workbook. So the person is reading along with their book, the text, and then it becomes a whole new program that we help them put together.
Nice.
And again, we can do that because, hey, we're a production company.
Exactly. Well, and I assume too, if you have multiple characters in your story, that it makes more sense to have multiple characters reading than it does to try and get a voice actor that can do like the woman that does Bart Simpson can do 8 or 10 different characters. But for the average person to be able to do 2 characters is pretty stretching it.
Yeah, it is kind of stretching. There's only, if you remember correctly, there's only one Mel Blanc. You know, and for those of you who aren't the same generation as Michelle and I, Mel Blanc, if you go through cartoons, he did all of the Looney Tunes. He did Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. And they actually had to hire supporting actors to him in some of the cartoons, and actually to, again, leading back to your point, there's only so many voices we can have. And that over 200 voices. He still needed help.
That is crazy. I mean, hands down to those who can do it, because to be able to, I can do an accent, but to do a character is totally different. Like when you have 5 different characters and they all have kind of North American accents, it's completely different than being able to go offshoot and go, oh, one was from New York and one was from Louisiana, one was from Carolina. Makes it a little easier to be able to do it.
Oh, we can just picture 2 different countries. It's like the American accent. Versus the Canadian accent, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, to be able to have 2 characters with the same accent makes it extremely difficult to be able to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how do you, when you're actually recording it, and that was the other reason for scripting, is because that breaks everything into segments and makes it easier for us when we go to put it back together again.
Mm-hmm.
These segments go together. These segments go together.
Nice. So what are some of the other issues that people have before they come to you? Have they tried to do it on their own and they can't? Have they went like, I don't know, I think this is a great idea to do an audiobook, but I don't have a clue what I'm doing, somewhere in between? How does that look?
Well, a lot of them have tried to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that they could do it with AI, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of really cool voices if you get the right AI programs, right? And then they hit the disclaimer on Audible and Amazon. Oh, hey. I can't do that. And they want it to appear on the Audible website for download, because it is a pretty good marketing tool.
Right.
You know, the same as with Amazon being able to download a Kindle book or something like that. Yeah, Audible is the same in the marketing end, right?
Wow.
You're a marketing expert. It's like,
yeah, I use my own voice for everything though, because I can read without sounding like I'm reading, and I can do a lot of things that, you know, 25 years of being on video helps.
Yeah, you're a wonderful talent in of yourself. Yes.
Me, myself, and I get a lot of entertainment out of myself.
But I'm talking about having a produced work that sits outside of on somebody else's website.
Right.
Having a produced work is a good marketing tool in Google.
Absolutely. I mean, the value of having an Audible book is insane, and I'm a total advocate for it because it opens it up to a ton of audience that you just wouldn't have otherwise. Like, so many people are listening, would rather listen to a book than be able to sit down and read it. To take the time, ask anybody, when was the last time you actually sat down to read a book? And when was the last time you actually finished a book reading it?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Let's roll back a second there.
Yep.
I'm going to push the rewind button. And yep. You said driving in your car, and well, if it's too monotone, you'd fall asleep. But the fact is that you like to listen to things while you're driving in your car.
Of course.
And a lot of people do.
Yeah, absolutely. But it can't be monotone.
No.
If it's monotone, they're going to shut it. Hopefully they shut it off before they get into an accident and get into trouble with it. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people is they think they're enthusiastic, but they don't realize that you have to be overly enthusiastic in order to sound somewhat enthusiastic on a recording.
Well, acting's bigger than life.
Exactly. Awesome. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you about a Cinderella story of one of your clients. We're going to be right back.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.
So I'm super excited to hear an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
Okay. So there was an artist nearby, and she had this really cute story about a dragon. And the dragon is actually a metaphor for how we can live our lives. And I thought it was a great story. And she was having trouble getting it out there, getting it to the right audience. And so we found her an actor. We went through an audition process of about maybe 5 different actors, and she picked one. And that actor gave the dragon itself a voice. It gave how the dragon wanted to live its life this voice also. So as we went through that whole process and we got it out there to people, it now has increased her sales. And she does wonderful artwork, jewelry, and she tells stories. And her sales has increased, and she feels more confident about things. And she's proud to say that she actually has an audio story out there that people can listen to and enjoy and learn something new about their life.
I love it. So I know the authors in the audience are going to want more from you. How did they start that journey with you?
Well, the first thing they should do is go to depictions.media. And I'll actually supply you with a link, and they can also contact me via email at michael@depictions.media.com.
Nice. We will, of course, have all of Michael's links in the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down and click on the link, open up in a new browser because we're not done yet. So Michael, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know you were special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Oh,
these days staring at the camera going, what?
Well, it's kind of crazy because I grew up in small business. My parents both each owned a small business. And my very first stab at being an entrepreneur was when I was 16. And somebody handed me a carpet cleaning machine. So I started gathering customers, and I gathered enough customers that I actually got to be the talk in a sales meeting in Sears. Now, how many of us remember Sears, right? But remember, right? They offer all these different services. Yeah. I actually got to be the talk of, who is this 16-year-old kid that is taking over a neighborhood away from our services?
That's awesome. Thanks for recognition, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it was all word of mouth stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah. Eventually Sears did actually overtake me. And of course, I was 16 years old. I had other ambitions rather than doing a carpet cleaning. So,
and I'm sure they had a devoted department. But, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
But it became something to tap into when my chemical engineering career ended. So I knew I could do something else. I could actually open up my own shop and turn what was this, at the time, a hobby of taking pictures and shooting video and stuff like that, the hobby into an actual business. And I learned how to turn it into a production team and into a whole production business that you see now is Depictions Media. We're actually Depictions Media Publishing Inc. So we keep incorporated.
Very fun. Well, we're glad you pursued your interests. You've been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Don't be afraid to go out there and take a stab at it yourself. If you have that heart desire, just go with it.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you, Michael, for your time. I appreciate it immensely, and I know how valuable it is.
Thank you.
Awesome. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.